listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life. Now, I love the topic we're going to talk about today because today's the day before Christmas. And maybe you don't celebrate Christmas, and maybe you do, and that's fine. But there's a principle that I want to talk about today that is pervasive and powerful and has a lot to do with Christmas. And I titled today's episode, Love is Always the Answer. What if love is always the answer? Like, what if that's actually true? Not maybe, not sometimes, but always the answer. Now, whether or not that even makes any sense is going to depend a lot on how we define love. Because sometimes, you know, think about a little kid who yells at his parents, I don't love you or I hate you. Or a parent who in frustration says something they later regret and it's not really true, that involves the word love or not loving, you know, kids or even between spouses or, you know, housemates or significant others or something. So let's just define some things about this idea that'll make it make sense as we talk about love is always the answer. So first, let's say love is the core of all existence. And I realize we breathe every day and we have to eat and we go to work and make money and everything. But here's what I've experienced. I'm 69. I'm working on 70 and I can't wait. Yay. My life gets better every day, every minute of every day. And you know what's interesting? Every minute of every day I learn at another deeper level that love really is the answer. And that's a sort of a glib saying. So let's talk even deeper. Love is the core of all existence. Sacred literature tries to make that point by saying God is love. And in at least Christian literature, and I'm sure in other traditions, other doctrines, you know, that love God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength is foundational. And then love everybody else like yourself, your neighbor, and your neighbor is everyone in the world. Why would that be the foundational directive? Well, it's not that complicated. Let's talk physics for a minute. You know, when we get into quantum physics, we call the strong force and the weak force and the electro weak and gravity, and we have names for these forces. We don't really understand what they are. Gravity is a really interesting one. Sometimes gravity is proposed, you know, there's a proposal that there's gravitons, something that carries the force of gravity. And other proposals think that gravity is the absence of resistance, kind of like the Casimir effect, you know, and all kinds of complicated stuff. But the truth is, we really don't have any idea. We have some thoughts and some theories, but we don't know. And we certainly haven't been able to combine all these forces into one, the grand unified theory, the holy grail of particle and quantum mechanics, physics, all that other stuff. So let's just go with this idea. What if love is the force that holds everything together? Now, before you laugh, let's just say that's true for a minute and just look at the effect. Let's give a working definition of love to start with. Let's say that love is a choice. It causes feelings in our body, you know, there's physical attraction and there's emotional platonic relationships and caring and parent child and siblings. But let's just say that love is more than a feeling. Let's say that love is an action. And let's say further, for the purposes of this discussion, it's a choice to use the resources you have to serve someone else. Now, if I use resources I have to help you, I can say in some way that I love you. So if I open the door for you, I used a little bit of physical strength and a little bit of time to hold the door for you. If I drop a bunch of stuff and you stop whatever you're doing and you help me pick it up. You use some time and some physical resources, but also there's some emotional resource in there too, right? You're caring and you're saying, hey, let me help you do that. And so we create for the moment a bond. So let's just use for a definition right now that love is a choice to use your spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental resources, some combination of those four things: spiritual, physical, emotional, mental. Now, you can parse our life into more pieces than that, I understand, but let's just use that. So if I use my spiritual, physical, emotional, mental resources to serve you, bless you, lift you, and in what I believe is your best interest, then I can say I love you. Now, if I only do it a tiny bit, then that's commensurate, right? A small amount of love is demonstrated. If you look at a parent, parents, and the lengths to which they go to nurture and raise and care for and protect and educate their children, well, they demonstrate enormous love. And so let's use that as a definition. Love, let's let that be a decision, a choice on the part of a conscious, aware entity to use their spiritual, physical, emotional, mental resources to lift and bless someone. If I do that or you do that, you can say you love me. I love that definition because if you want it to, it can include every single kind of love. It can include every dimension, amount of love, huge amounts, small amounts, and it can include different kinds. Nurturing love, helping someone, you know, get their goals. It can include the work that I do as a coach. Now, this show is just about helping everybody that watches it create your ultimate life. And I define that as a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And that would include love, like loving your life, loving others. And here's what I notice. The longer I'm in this profession, and I started this journey 17 and a half years ago, I walked away from everything else I was doing and started over and became an author and a coach. And a coach being a person who's invested in getting those I work with over the goal line, whether it's an Olympic podium, whether it's to create a TED Talk, whether it's to launch or scale a business, whether it's to fix some relationship issues they've got, or gracefully end a relationship and move on without a lot of hate and negativity. Coaching takes a lot of forms. We sometimes parse that, say business coaching, life coaching, relationship coaching, and there may be a particular specialty that you or another person specializes in, and that's fine. But the idea of coaching is a dedication to use different techniques and tools and time that we spend with clients to help them get what they want, whether that is to run a faster mile or some physical thing. I have coaches that I use for vocal coaching and performance, speaking, stage work, that kind of stuff. And as a coach, I have clients that do all kinds of stuff, all kinds of different businesses and a lot of personal stuff as well. So, and one of the things I love about this whole definition of love is I can absolutely freely and truthfully say that I love my clients. Yeah, they pay me, but beyond the values that is exchanged in money, I absolutely call forth the very best I've got of spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental resources to lift and bless and serve them. So I set up my life so I get to meet a lot of new people, and I consciously and intentionally go into every conversation with the idea and the focus and certainty that I love them, meaning I'm here to give you everything I got, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, to lift, to bless, to encourage you. All right, so let's use that as a definition for love. Well, when is it not? I say love is always the answer. When is it not true that you or I or anyone could or would be blessed by using spiritual, physical, emotional, mental resources, and I'm just going to call them resources, to serve somebody, to lift and bless them? And that the answer would be never. Now, I know there's wars going on right now, and I know there's hatred, and people hate each other without knowing them. This group hates that group, and, you know, prejudice and hatred and bigotry abound in the world against all kinds of different groups of people. Well, if we can hate each other without knowing each other just because we make assumptions, then we can do the same with love. So when I say love is all the answer, always the answer, here's what I know. Love, in my coaching work, not only the work that I do, but that I've seen, that I've had worked with me in terms of being coached, being a client, or anyone else that I know in a mentoring, coaching, lifting role, love works better than any other way. And sometimes there's a little tough love where you don't buy excuses and stuff like that. So it's clear, we've got to be clear that love isn't a doormat. Love isn't, you know, giving anybody their way. Because a child just running in the street and I grab them and grab them because they're going to get hit by a car. They might wrestle or scream or do whatever and hate my guts for a second, but I'm acting in their highest interest because I don't want them to be dead. Okay, so it isn't, and there's always going to be circumstances where you can say, well, and I invite you not to do that. I invite you to just go with me to explore how love can improve your life. So love isn't allowing things to go on that shouldn't go on. Love isn't being a doormat. Love isn't just giving in to what people say or do. Love isn't being agreeable all the time. Remember, the definition is to use your resources, which would include your ideas, your thoughts, your voice, your physical self, everything, to serve someone in their highest and best interest. Now, we're not always blessed in any way to know for sure what someone else's highest and best interest is. Only the divine would know that. But we can certainly do the best we can. And things like the golden rule, which is, you know, do unto others as you would, you know, as though you were the others. Do unto others as though you would want them to do unto you, something. I'm sure I've said that wrong. But do unto others as though you were the others. That's another way to think about it. If we think about that, then 90-something percent of the time, we can be pretty clear that we're acting in someone's interest, especially if we ask and we interact with them and let someone know that we're really trying to serve, to bless, to lift them. Love is not attachment. It's not dependence. It's not a fleeting emotion. You know, in our days, time when divorce rates are 70% and higher and even higher than that for second and third relationships, love is bandied about and confused with physical attraction, with conditional sort of language. Yeah, I love you. As long as you do what I want and don't piss me off too much. Yeah, we're good. And real love in the powerful way is unconditional. It's extensive, right? In sacred literature, in the scripture, one of them, it says, you know, love is patient and doesn't seek its own, isn't puffed up, isn't prideful, isn't trying to be, you know, bragging, isn't looking out for its own interest. There's quite a list of things that real love is, patterned after the love of the divine for us, the children of the divine. And so I just lay that down for a framework. Love is always the answer. So let's go there and explore how that might be true and how to use that. Now that we know it's more than a feeling, it's the fundamental energy of the universe, the creative force that holds everything together. Another argument for that is look what fear and hate do, which are at the other end. Look what it does in a group. If there's fear and hatred in a group, the group disintegrates. If there's fear and hatred between groups, there's war or, you know, animosity and fighting and sometimes killing, as we witness in the world. So we know that hate, fear, you know, on all those negative things that are at the opposite end, that's a destructive force. It destroys lives, hope, people as they die. It destroys trust. It destroys everything. Love, on the other hand, is attractive. It draws people in. A lot of times people equate love with light. And we're all heliotropic, even down to the smallest amoeba in a petri dish. one-celled animals migrate across a petri dish to get closer to a source of light. Cactus in the backyard I had in Arizona bent its growth pattern to get a little more light over the years that we lived there. So we are heliotropic, attracted to light, and light is often represented by love. So what can we do with this idea that love, this truth, I'm not even say idea, this truth, because remember, we're here about creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. What I noticed in my own life, and I continue to notice all the time, is when I changed radically in 2007, I left a high-paying job, or was making a lot of money, and I had a miserable lifestyle. And you've heard the stories, you know, fraught with addictions and all kinds of negative things that were at the other end of the scale. When I made a choice to change who I was, to let love fuel my life and fire my life and, you know, be the fire and everything else, everything changed for me. The way I looked at people changed, the nature and type of relationships that I had, the negative emotions gradually just drained away. And you've heard me talk before about my PTAC, personal truth document. And if you want to know more about that, I would ask you to take a look at this book right here, Living with Purpose and Power, because I wrote this as most recent of 20 books that I've written. And it is about everything I've learned about how to create love as your engine. It talks about creating not only a declaration of who you're being, which for me includes love. I've got a statement in there that says, I am love, pouring over your soul like warm sunshine to create miracles in the moment. Well, nobody ever said that about fear or hate. We're going to create a miracle in the moment with hate or fear. That, you know, never happened, not in the same sense. Love and fear can't exist in the same time and space. And here's the fun part. You and I, we get to choose love over fear. The idea that we are required to react a certain way in any given situation is not true. I'm not including some situation where you're physically threatened and you have to run or defend yourself. I am talking about the attitude we take and feel about every situation that happens in our lives. So remember, love is unconditional, and it is going to win in the end, despite that the hate and the negativity in the world that we see that results in wars and death and crime and cruelty and everything else. Love will triumph. And we can spend a lot of time arguing about that, or we can make a choice, and this is what I invite myself to do and you, to be a source of love, to be a beacon of love, a beacon of light, a vessel of love, a conduit of power. Those are three words. And when you bring love to any situation, you bring power. People can feel that. I just had the chance to speak at an event this week, and last week, actually, and the response was overwhelming to what I spoke a couple of times that week, two different conferences. And the response was what it was because I brought every piece of love that I had for the people in the audience, for their situations, for the circumstances they might be in, for the businesses they were trying to build. It wasn't a, you know, church or spiritual meeting. It was a business group. One's a mastermind and another one doesn't matter. And most of them are there to build business and learn about that sort of thing. And what I talked about was, what is the power of going all in and in choosing to play to win instead of playing not to lose? And you can interpret that as grind harder, and that's fine, except it's not as powerful as show up with love and then do the work. But do everything you do with love. And love is the driver. Who can I serve? How can I help? And again, when you get rid of the doormat idea and get rid of just do whatever everybody wants, that's not love. That's not real love, because love is growth-oriented and building. And those have been absolutely my experiences. Now, here's the other thing I know. I'm a creator. I love to create things. I write music and I have a lot of songs. So if you look me up on Spotify, I have 91 songs in commercial release. I've got three more that I just finished, and they'll be up in a few days. And the last 40 or so that I have done are all songs with lyrics and in the sort of pop style, meaning 3 to 5 minutes, and they have words. The first 50 I did a jazz album, and I did some electronic dance, EDM, because I like sound design and playing with that stuff, and did some meditation music, and that doesn't have words. But the last 40 or so that I've done are all focused on one thing: my mission to help you, 300 million people, understand who you are as a divine being, to love you and invite you to say, wow, I am that divine being. And that means I have capability. Maybe I haven't been using it. Maybe I haven't been accessing the truth of my spiritual DNA, but it's there. And man, I'm gonna you now. That same change happened to me in 2007 when I had a divine intervention. Now, if you want to read about that and you're curious, it's in a book called Tightrope of Depression: My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death to Light, Love, and Life. And my mess, my life before that change was a mess. Addictions and suicide attempts and ruined relationships and about as bad as it gets without actually being successful at ending my life, which I tried a couple times. So if I can go from that sort of disaster to a place where every day I'm feeling love toward you, love fuels my drive. It fuels my creativity. It fuels the books that I write. It fuels the music that I write. It fuels the talks that I give. It fuels the business products I create. I had the opportunity today to just send some messages to clients that are in different circumstances that I'm working with. And of course, then they're sharing things that are going on, and I get a chance to love them through encouraging messages that do include suggestions about how to handle, you know, current situations. But they're all sent from the perspective of what would really lift and bless their life, not only financially and in business, that's a given, but in attitude, mindset, so that they're able, so that you are able to take action. It's one thing to have someone say to you, come on, you can do it, rah, rah. And it's another to actually feel loved, to feel the love that someone who might be speaking has for you, the belief they have in you. I know in my life, the few times that I have experienced that, when I really felt like whoever I was with, they actually cared a lot about me and what was going on and how to help, that energy was beyond powerful. Way different than someone pounding on a stage, thumping up and down. And even if there's loud music and thump, 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 you can do this, rah, 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 it is the experience of being loved that carries the power. And I wasn't raised that way. Everything was conditional. You only get the good stuff if you this and if you that, and when you this, and you know, everything was conditioned on being behaving a certain way or doing a certain thing. And I didn't have the joy, the profound, moving joy of being loved. For me, just supported that way until now, until I got married the fourth time and was busy learning about how to be a person myself. And I can tell you the profound difference between those experiences. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Remember, real love casts out fear. Real love eliminates hate. So maybe you're in a circumstance right now where something's not going right and love seems like out the window. Draw a bigger circle. Be patient. I have circumstances in my life right now where, you know, some of the 10 children that I have, all of whom I deeply and dearly love, they don't talk to me. Okay, there's an estrangement there. There's nothing I can do about it. I send messages and do things which are either go unanswered or rejected. And you know what? That makes me love them more. It makes me pray more for them. It makes my heart warmer toward them. And here's why. They, and this might be true for you in your circumstance, they're walking their own journey through life, right? And they're going to have Every person is going to have their sets of experiences and circumstances. And those experiences and circumstances affect us in different ways. And there will come a time when those experiences and circumstances in my children's lives move them. And then they will say, wow, maybe I could, maybe we should. And I know that because of communication I have with the divine who runs all this show. Okay. I had so much hate and self-loathing for myself because of so many mistakes that I had made, so many things that I had chosen that were, in retrospect, I'd never do again, right? But the damage was done. And for a long time, years, even maybe a decade or more, I felt completely poisoned by self-loathing and carried around the feeling that nothing would be okay. Never going to be fixed. And that's simply not true. Love, the love of the divine, the love that exists as a creative force in the universe, will triumph. And that certainty has now overtaken everything in my life. And now I live in peace, even though lots of things aren't as I want them. So let's talk about how to create love in yourself. All this love, blah, blah, that I'm talking about starts with self-love. And that for me was the hardest lesson about this whole thing to learn. I was so steeped, buried in the feeling of self-loathing, not good enough, can't this, won't that, never happen, too late, you made too many mistakes, you're dead, it's over, everybody else is right, you're worthless. Well, those kinds of deep and dark things just poisoned me, and it ultimately was what drove me to, you know, try attempt suicide a couple times, because I believed those things. And then learning that forgiveness was real. A couple of episodes ago, I did a episode here on forgiveness a couple of weeks ago. So take a look at that. But then I learned to love myself. And here's how you do that. As silly as you might think this sounds, when was the last time you walked up into the mirror in your bathroom in the morning, looked yourself in the eyes, and gently and truly said, I love you? And looked in your own eyes. What is the feeling when you do that? Mine used to be ridiculous, self-loathing, can't happen, never happen, too late. You know, life's ruined and you wrecked everything. And gradually, as I began to explore the idea of mistakes and forgiveness, the feeling began to change. And it is never going to be the case that I say I love everything that I did, because mistakes are mistakes and pain is pain. However, when we do what we can to rectify those, and in many cases, there isn't much we can do, especially with emotional things. But then it must be the case that we change who we are. And when we change who we are, I'm no longer that person. 'Twas I, 'tis not I, in the words of Shakespeare. Yep, that's who I was, and now I'm not. Now, people around you are going to say, I don't believe you, I don't believe you. That's fine. That's not yours to solve. Over time, if you change who you are, the self-love becomes real. I love you because you're trying. I love you because you've committed to change. I love you because you've apologized and made whatever amends you can. I love you because you show up to the game day after day after day. And you know what? Pretty soon that feeling becomes real. And then you or I, we change who we are. We are no longer the person who did or said those things anymore. That's not who we are now, right? And in that context, then we begin behaving like a person who loves, who creates, who lifts, who blesses. Now, I've referred so far to a number of books that you may be interested in. They may spark an interest in you. There's a URL on the screen, KellenFlukigerMedia.com. I invite you to go there and take a look. All the books that I have written so far are there, and you can see their names, and they're all on Amazon, and you can get them. And if any of those things call you, learning to love yourself, eliminating eliminating fear from your life. Forgiveness, understanding and activating the principle of forgiveness for yourself and others. Those books are there. What else is there is a way to contact me. One of the things I had to walk through that was really difficult was to learn to love myself again, even though I had made many and serious mistakes. And I have learned that. And I now love myself. And what I find from that place is it's easy for me to love you. It's easy for me to access that creative infinite power that love actually is in the universe. It's easy to access. And it's beautiful and it's powerful. And it makes every day that ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. It drives my purpose now. And you know what that is? I'm reaching 300 million people with three things. A message is thing one about your divinity, your capability, and your possibility. You're divine. That means you have divine DNA and your possibilities are infinite. That's the short version. Part two is with the method, the frameworks, the tools, the instructions, the path to change who you are and what you're achieving or doing into what you want. And the third is the motivation or mastery of those things, because just like learning the piano or singing or being an attorney or an engineer, you don't master those immediately. It takes consistent work. So the message, the method, and mastery, and that my whole coaching practice and everything I do in the world is focused on that, reaching 300 million people with the message, and for those that want more, the method, and for those that want more, help with the mastery until you love yourself fiercely, and that love shows itself in how you add good to the world, which includes purpose, prosperity, and joy. Lots of times when we talk about this seeming sort of woo-woo stuff, people get the idea that, well, that's all fine, but it doesn't put money in my bank account. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. 100%. And here's another invitation. I'd love to get a hold of you. If you can't see, but it's not obvious to you, blindingly obvious, how showing up as the creative powerhouse of love and creativity, acknowledgement and forgiveness makes more money for you in whatever business you're in, whether you have a job or whether you're building your own business, then let's talk, because I can show you immediately and directly how that happens. It directly correlates. I've got clients right now that I work with who come to me because they want to make more money in business, and they just give me the steps to make more money. And so we talk about the steps to make more money, and inevitably, they come to realize that the attitude, the energy that they create in themselves as they do those things determines their success. A real simple example is, okay, I'm a person, I have, you know, job insurance or real estate or some other thing where I've got to go get clients. If I approach that activity with fear and worry and I'm not good enough and nobody wants to talk to me, and that's a disaster. If I approach it with, oh, I hope it's okay, I'm trying so hard, nobody wants to talk to me, that's a disaster. If I approach that process of prospecting and talking to people, loving every person that I talk to, not worrying, not knowing whether or not they need what I have, and being okay if they do or don't, it's going to be really obvious really quickly that that third mindset closes more deals and makes more money, period, every time. I have a client in England right now, and he teaches people. He's a coach for financial advisors. And this is exactly what we talked about. And his courses have become so popular, he's used in nearly every large financial house in England. And you know what he's teaching? Relationships, questions, asking people questions, caring, that kind of thing. And guess what? Closed deals make money. It applies directly to money. So love makes you money. Isn't that fun? Another thing I want to talk about for a minute about love is always the answer is in relationships. Okay, we go into a relationship and we say we love each other and we think we're going to do whatever, and we're not willing to do the work required to stay there. Now, relationships are complicated because it takes two people And both people have to be, you know, willing to do that work. And if one person is and does the work and one person is simply not willing and not interested, you can't make them. It's like I can't make those of my children that don't talk to me right now immediately have a change of heart. What I can do is stay in love, openness, yearn for them, pray for them, reach out to them. I can do that, which I do. And I live absolutely in the certainty that their own life experience will bring them to a realization that there is opportunity. So I know that. And because I live in that love, I don't worry. So if you're in a relationship, defensiveness, anger, frustration, finger pointing, that is not the way to growth. The way to growth is work on yourself, be the epitome of the very person you want to be, how you talk, how you act. That doesn't mean no boundaries. Set your boundaries, honor them. Don't participate in things that are violate your principles or boundaries. And don't let people run over you. That isn't what this is about. But all of that can be done with love and honor and kindness. And then the decisions will rest squarely on the shoulders of the other party, and you will have nothing to be either afraid of or worried about or anything. And nobody's perfect. So to the extent we fail in that, then we fess up, clean it up, and recommit. In fact, that's one of my sayings in my PTAC, personal truth document, which is my personal constitution between me and God. I am that when I fall or fail in any declaration, I get up, fess up, clean it up, and recommit. And that allows me to be bold and clear in loving myself and others, exercising and accessing the power that that creative force brings. And when I fail, I fix it. I fess up right away. No, that was wrong. I didn't mean to say that. Whatever it is, clean it up, whatever's necessary, and then recommit. Now, an interesting thing is sometimes when we hurt somebody else, a colleague at the office, you did something, and they can choose never to talk to you again. And you can choose whether or not that affects you permanently inside. If you've done what you can, and somebody else's path says, I'm going to hate you forever, let that go. Love is still the answer, every time and any time. Another way that love is the answer is adversity or bad crap that happens to us. How many of you have that? Raise your hand. I can see you all. Every single person raised your hand. Of course you have that. You have struggles. Maybe you have an illness struggle. Maybe you have a physical struggle. It's funny. I was talking to a friend the other day. I hadn't talked to him and I talked to him often, but I hadn't been where they are. And I mentioned that I'm in pain often and my back hurts and I walk with a cane. And they were shocked. I didn't know you were. Oh, I'm so sorry. And here's the fun thing. It's been going on for a couple of years, not two, a year and a half now. About a year and a half ago, something happened, and I have had some spinal deterioration, and it finally got to the place where I've got bad sciatica on the right side, et cetera, et cetera. So I get, you know, cortisone injections in the L5, S1 vertebrae, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't affect love, creation, power, and all that stuff. Because that's who I choose to be. And so much so that, wow, they didn't even know. And I talk to them regularly. And so adversity doesn't have to affect your heart. If you have an illness, if you have a financial reversal, if you have a betrayal, if someone rips you off or leaves you or is unfaithful, that hurts for a minute. And you have to decide how long you're going to let it affect you. The key I've discovered is self-love, honoring and caring for yourself. It is to let them be them, let it go. Demanding justice, holding rage, you know, they ought to be tarred and feathered. Any kind of feeling like that, all that does is poison you. We've all heard the holding a grudge is like drinking poison and waiting for them to die. Of course, they're never going to. Maybe they don't even care. You have to let it go. And you say, I can't. Yes, you can. Are you married to your grudge and anger? You take comfort in that rage? All that does is get in the way of your growth. It gets in the way of your happiness and keeps you or me, whoever does it, stuck in that ball of negative emotion. Well, you can stay there as long as you want, but love is still the answer. Love also is the key to serving. Like, we are built literally to love and serve each other. It's perfect right now because this is Christmas Eve. And if you celebrate that, you've got your decorations up. If you have them, you purchased gifts and you're sharing them, and you know, you're in a time of festivity, or if you're in struggle, you're in a time still, if you want to be, of gratitude. You're alive, you're breathing, there is still a God, there is a way forward, and you can do this. Get the help you need. Accept whatever adversity is going on as an opportunity to grow. And that you can say, Kellen, that's easy for you to say, but you have no idea. You're right, I don't. And I'm not pretending to know exactly the suffering that you have. What I know for myself is that whenever I choose love and choose to trust that there is a way forward, and then go at it with conviction to find the best way forward, even in a difficult circumstance, I feel better, progress is better, and I'm happy all the time. We don't have to let anyone else make us unhappy. One of the best ways to do that is to serve. So in this season of the year, I love serving. I love giving gifts to people. I love going out of my way to help people. I mean, I'm a coach anyway, but I love talking to people that are not clients, encouraging them, loving them, and helping them realize that however dark it is, there's dawn coming. There really is. The sun is coming up tomorrow. There's a way through it and past it. And if you can't see it, well, let's talk. Maybe we can figure something out together. And I love doing that. It's part of the blessing and treasure that I find through love in the business, the business of coaching, which also creates money. Money. You know, my wife, Joy, studied Buddhism for a time. And one of the things she likes to remember and talk about in that study was sending loving kindness. And you might think that's sort of a woo-woo phrase, and it is, but the answer is, it is a choice to send feelings of reconciliation, understanding, positive energy into the world, and especially toward those that right this minute you hate, or you resent, or who have hurt you. You know, we can sit around and send feelings of hate and negativity, hoping that they, you know, drive into the ocean, or we can send feelings of love. It's our choice. Another person may or may not change. What I can tell you is it changes you. If I send feelings of love and kindness, I'm a different person. I'm different. If I choose to stay stuck in my mud of anger, I stay unhappy. And that means I've given that event or person my power. Love is always the answer. Love lifts you. It also lifts everybody around you. Now, one of the things that might be hard is, yeah, you could say, yeah, Kellen, it's easy for you to say that, but all this crap happens around me and I can't help it. Well, here's the answer. Love is a daily practice. If you want it to be. I've talked before about my morning ritual. I have a 2.5-hour morning ritual where I create myself spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. I use the same acronym. And that means I do some spiritual work, meditation, prayer, reading, reaffirming my commitments to the divine. I do some physical exercise and action. Emotionally, the E for me includes all my relationships and everything. So I'll send messages of love and encouragement and reconciliation if necessary and positive things to people. And then mental, I read in books to keep my mind active and to grow. What I notice by doing that is then I get to be full of love. The fountain of love in the universe fills me up. And that means I approach every conversation, making this for you. Talking to my precious angel wife, Joy, or anything else and everything else that I do, I feel filled with hope, possibility, creative energy, kindness, joy. I'm full of that energy. And it is by choice, because I go through that practice every day. And when I used to work on a, quote, morning ritual, I had the same problems everybody does. I don't have time. Oh, I forgot today. Oh, I got up late, so I'll do it tonight or some other day. You know, and 100 other ways to say that same thing. You know, I struggled with that too. And what I finally discovered is every single one of those excuses was self-sabotage, because all it did is reduce my effectiveness during the day from 100 to 50 or some other lower number. It lowered my creativity. It lowered my empathy. It lowered my ability to listen and hear what was really going on in people's hearts and minds, even though language was whatever it was. So it affected me powerfully. And I noticed that over and over again. And so gradually I finally said, I'm not skipping this ever, ever, ever. Because I don't like who I am when I do. So as we close this up today, I want to give you a call to action. Look, here's the choice. Choose love over fear. The opposite of love isn't really hate. The opposite of love is fear. Hate comes from fear. Fear of what others think, fear of what others are going to do. So if you choose in your heart and make a declaration, I am love. I choose love over fear every time, every day, no matter what. And then remember that every time anything happens, and there'll be 100 a day where something doesn't go like you want. What would love do? That's a question I love asking myself. If I was pure love, what would I do right now? That does two things. One, it breaks the thought pattern, gives me a chance to reflect, and then it also gives me a chance to do something different than what I might automatically say or do. So the choice of love over fear is not just a platitude, it's an action step. Every time anything happens, when you notice an emotion that isn't love, ask, okay, this happened, this got said, this got done, what would love do right now? And that may be a new or difficult habit to start with, but you can do it, because love is always available. Always available. It's always enough. And it's always the very best and most powerful way forward in any situation. And I can say that without hesitation, without doubt, and I can promise you that. Now, here's a couple of invitations. This show is about creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And I'm hoping that this discussion of choosing love and love always being the answer will lift you and bless you and help you love yourself more to start with. If I can help you in some way, please let me know. If you have a story you'd like to share on this show, I love having guests here and talking about your story and your experiences and what you learn and how you add good to the world. I love doing that. I invite you to share this with someone. If this message of love and encouragement would brighten someone's day or lift them, give it as a gift. Share this video with them. Send them to LA Talk Radio so they can hear this if you think it will serve. Be a blessing in their lives. And last of all, my goal is and commitment is to reach 300 million people. If there's some way you'd like to partner or we can help each other, I'd love to talk about that. Because that's the only thing I'm doing. My commitment is strong. My commitment is unwavering to serve as many as I can. Remember, there's three parts. The message of your infinite capability. And if you want to move further, the method to take that knowledge and turn it into something good and powerful. And the third thing is mastery. Because all of those things, learning the message and activating the tools or the methods, takes work. And as a coach, focusing on mastery for myself and for others is what I do. Again, I say to you, I love you. My only mission and purpose in life is to encourage you, to lift you, to bless you, to acknowledge your greatness, and to serve you any way that I can. Here's what I know for sure as we wind up. I know that no one can keep you from living your best life. Only you. No one can keep me from living my best life. Only me. No one can stop you. And No one can do it for you. No one can do it for me. We have the sacred opportunity and responsibility to be the very best we can be, because we came into the world with nothing. And the only thing we're going to take with us when we go is what we've made of ourselves. That, to me, is a motivating thought and power. If I can help you some way, I won't know it unless you get a hold of me. What I know for sure is no one can keep you from creating purpose, prosperity, joy, and living fiercely joyfully every single day. No one can keep you from living and creating your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.